Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Did we just become best friends?
Yup!
You want to go do karate in the garage?
Yup!
Big time of friendship.
I like you. Do you like me?
I do like you.
You are my friend.
You're a nice young man, and I am your friend.
Shut up, Pete. I got friends now. I don't need you anymore.
Friend requests.
The friend request?
Why ain't this a my friend request, bro? But you don't want my friend.
Hello and welcome to the friend request. It's your host, Chloe Madryn. So happy to see your beautiful faces. I can't see your faces. I'm glad you're seeing my face. Welcome to the show. I want to welcome any first-time listeners. If you are new to the pod, it is beautiful to have you. Thank you so much for coming on by. This is a show all about friendship where I ask comedians mostly and other funny, cool people if they have any friends and how they get them because I want some more. No, I've got heaps, actually. I'm killing it. But that's what the show is all about. If you are new to the podcast, I honestly, you can jump in wherever you want, but I do recommend starting from the start. It's a journey. We've had so many beautiful, wonderful guests, so many funny people, just like today's guest. So get into it if you want. I also, just up the top of the show, wanted to say that I am doing my very first comedy hour in Melbourne at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, which is so exciting. Oh my God. It is called Hot Girl Stuff. It's going to be down in Melbourne for 2 weeks. So if you want to come and see it, I would love to see you there. Hot Girl Stuff. You can just Google Hot Girl Stuff, Chloe Madryn, and it'll come up. But the link is in my bio. It's in the bio for the Friend Request podcast, Instagram as well. The link will be in the show notes for today's show. Obviously, I'd love to see you there. If you live in another city, don't worry though, because I will be bringing the show all around. So calm down. It's so exciting. It's exciting times. Anyway, it's good to have you here. Today's guest is so wonderful. You'd know him from the whole of the internet, really. It's the very, very funny, wonderful comedian, Aaron Goxy Gox himself. I hope you enjoy the episode. I think it's a good one. You drove up from Melbourne today. Yeah. That's crazy.
Well, I left last night, but then I was really tired, so I was like, did a few quick little naps.
Yeah.
Better to be safe.
Definitely. That's smart. How long are you up for?
So I'm kind of gradually going north. Mm-hmm. I've got a couple of shows, Northern New South Wales.
Yeah.
Then back to Brisbane, then going to come back. So sweet. Come back about Monday or something.
Yeah, okay. Damn.
Yeah.
You're always on the road.
Oh, I got to keep it going, you know.
You're a road dog.
Yeah, I love the road.
It's good. This is obviously a friendship podcast. I think I mentioned that. But it's interesting to me how comics navigate friendship when you're on the road so much.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you about that a bit, if that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sweet.
Do just you ask me whatever, you know.
Beautiful. Perfect. I got a million
questions.
Just
trying to get a...
You're not comfy.
It's that thing pillows. Of like, you know, all those like ways you sit when you're a kid and you don't do it again when you're an adult? Like, we used to sit at school like this.
Cross-legged, yeah.
Anyway, I'll just go with this. Is that all right?
Of course. Whatever's comfortable.
I'm worried there's like some weird angle looking at my...
No. I promise. I like cut in anyway, so the angles are always good. I'd be as good with the angles as possible.
Awesome.
But you're good. A lot of people lean back. We're all good.
Yeah.
You okay?
Yeah.
Okay, sweet. Yeah, tell me a bit about being on the road. Do you like... Because you've got friends in pretty much every city, right?
Kind of. I like to think that, but then I'll be like, I'm like, who do I know in this place?
Yeah.
But, like,
catching up with people at a whim.
Yeah.
That'd be hard.
Yeah. It's, and the other thing is too, like, you know, you stay with someone.
Yeah.
You try and like not put all the burden on one person. Mm-hmm. So like rotate it around, you know?
Yeah, totally.
And I'll think, oh, I stayed with that person last time, better ask someone else.
Oh, man, that's a hard game to play.
Yeah.
Do you do that for the festivals as well?
Yeah,
That's smart.
Yeah.
That's very, very smart. But you live in Melbourne?
Yeah, I just moved there recently. Yeah, okay.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, good. When you are traveling on the road a bit, because you've got like such a friendly persona, and I think that a lot of your fans are like, oh yeah, Goxie's my mate. Do you have a lot of strangers come up to you and just treat you as if you're friends already?
Yeah, like there's always, you know, and people like have that thing in their town, they're like, try this pie or whatever.
Yeah.
Come to this place. Yeah. But I think it's calmed down a little bit. A few years ago there's definitely people like trying to organize doing stuff with them. And it was funny too, because like you don't really know, you know, you just put your stuff out, you don't know who it's going to be.
Totally.
The demographic.
Yeah.
And there was some kind of like young, not super young, but like teenage fellas, like,
yeah.
And they're like, oh, come bowling with us or something, which sounds good in theory. Then you get there and it's like, I'm the double their age.
Yeah, I'm bowling with these kids.
Yeah.
Shit, that's so weird.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, because you also do like lots of like people's parties. People want you to come and do spots, right?
Yeah.
So strange. How does it go?
Yeah, those can be quite weird. I've done some like box parties. Mm-hmm. House, even just like a performing in a house.
Yeah.
And there's no like stage or mic. It's just standing there on the floor. Yeah.
That's so strange.
Yeah.
Do you like hang out afterwards as well?
Try not to. No, they're usually pretty keen for me to hang out. And it's just awkward because it's like I don't know them. So I've got nothing to say.
It's a weird thing. Yeah. It's the parasocial dynamic
that
people are starting to talk about, where it's like, everyone's got so much access to the people that they are fans of.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we're best mates, obviously. Yeah. I mean, I can relate. I get like that a little bit when you listen to someone's podcast heaps or whatever. Yeah. Like, I guess I know them.
Yeah. And like, you know, it's nice because I'm there and most of the people are stoked.
Yeah.
But there's always like one or two punishers who are like bugging me about like they want to discuss what's going on. You know? They're like, oh, so you're just paid to hang out.
Yeah, right.
I feel like, and I try not to be rude about it, but I feel like saying them like, man, like relax. Like, you know, your boss has paid for it or your mate's paid for it or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
They're worried that it's like they're not getting bang for buck. Or, you know, I get these guys too who are like, are you going to perform? Are you going to perform? Because sometimes, like most of them I'll perform at, but then sometimes... Yeah. Just hanging out, you know, don't even perform.
That's so odd.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's just like paid to be. It's almost like I was trying to think of one of those. You know, do you ever see that movie Van Wilder? You know, like
No.
Just a party. He's like a party guy. You know? Okay. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Is that ever where you imagined that you would be?
No. But I love it. But yeah.
That's good.
It's addictive, you know. I want to do this again. I want to do it again.
Yeah, totally.
Just paid to be at a party.
Yeah, that's such an odd thing. What were you like like before comedy, as a kid, as a teenager, what were you partying lots?
No, like because I was a bit of a naughty boy at school. Not very bad, but yeah. I went to a few schools, so there was always like you hear about a party just from from being at different schools, you'd hear about a party being on.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, my teenage years is a bit of a blur, like bit of drinking and stuff. But
I relate to that. That's it's terrible.
I'm not proud of it or nothing.
No.
I remember when I wanted to, I really wanted to drive. Yeah. And I'm like, Dad, will you teach me to drive? And he's like, okay, but you got to be not hungover on like Saturday or Sunday. And I couldn't even achieve that.
Yeah.
It's like, how much do you really want to drive that you can't forsake drinking? Or,
It's exciting then. But yeah, I regret it. I'm like, I reckon I could have been so much smarter if I just laid off the drinking and drugs more than anything. Like, Jesus Christ.
I think it's part of growing up. So yeah, because like I'm pretty, don't do much of anything now.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I got that out of my system, yeah.
Yep, that's a good point. What were you like as a kid, though? I don't know you very well. Obviously, we've met a handful of times, but, like, we've never really hung out, so...
Yeah, in what way? Just, like, I don't know.
Were you shy? Were you a class clown? Like, you say you're a bit naughty.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, class clown. Yeah. That's what's funny now, doing the comedy all these years later, is that I never thought of it, but at the time I was like always trying to make people laugh.
Yeah.
School and sports teams and stuff.
Yeah.
Really to my detriment, like I did not do well at school at all. I regret that, but now.
Did you make lots of friends though?
No.
Shit. Okay.
It wasn't the good class clown, it was the annoying one.
Yeah, okay. And that it happens. It happens. Yeah. It's like a defense mechanism almost. Yeah.
But that's what's great about with the comedy and finding fans and stuff. It's like, oh, there's people out there who want to hear this. When before it was just like, everyone's just like, shut up. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And you did you play a lot of sports when you were a kid?
Yeah. Usually played something. Like started with soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Moved to rugby league when I was like a teenager. Yeah, so I wasn't good at anything, but
okay. What'd you like about it?
I guess just because I was like a fan of watching.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I'm gonna try it myself.
Yeah.
Let off some, you know, you can tackle and run and stuff. Yep. So like, I don't know. I was gonna say teenage angst, but
yeah,
I had no reason to have angst.
Oh man, but it's everyone. Yeah. Every teenager, even with the reasons, without it doesn't matter. They're all fucking shitty.
Yeah. Well, that's that classic like middle class teenage, we think we're hard done by, but we're not. Like,
yeah, totally. Yeah. But the hormones are tough. It's a tough thing to go through.
Yeah.
I fucking strongly empathize for teenagers, and because it is easy to say like, oh, you know, you've got it pretty good, and they do.
Yeah,
but it's a lot going on in your brain. It's
a crazy time. Yeah,
it's fucked. I would never wish that upon anyone. I don't want to go through that again.
Yeah. Well. The best age, I reckon, like, because you don't know at that age. You think, like, I've got to have the brands. I've got to impress people.
Yeah.
And the best part of life is outgrowing that. Totally. And it's like, as you can tell, I don't wear nothing to impress no one.
Oh, man, that is something that is just a constant throughout doing this show, is just everyone as they get older just feel so much more comfortable in themselves. Yeah. And I'm like, I love it. I have like, it's weird because there's a lot of people that like the show that are a lot younger, and you know, some people will like, I'm 29, right? I'm almost 30, and someone will be like, oh, but you don't look older than 25. And I'm like, I want to be 30. I want to be older. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
it's liberating. You feel so much better.
Yeah, just moving past all that.
Yeah, God, every year, it's all good.
Because you don't know. When you're young, you just think, I've got to have this. I remember like, and that's what I said, I shouldn't be complaining about anything. We had everything we needed, but I was like, oh, I didn't have the Nike shoes or the video game or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
You always feel hard done by.
Yeah, of course. And you're also just like, you're trying to fit in. Like, it's so much, you're driven by so much instinct at that age.
Yeah.
And that instinct to fit in and to be part of a community and to like make friends is one of the primal instincts because it helps us all survive. So like it makes sense. You're like, no, I have to have the Nike shoes because everyone else has them.
Oh yeah, totally.
When did you start skating?
So like around 13, 14.
Okay.
Grade 8, yeah.
Okay.
Because I was a 90s kid, talking about age. So that it all blew up, the whole like Tony Hawk stuff, late 90s.
That was the time.
But talking about fitting in and stuff, mm-hmm. so I, you know, even though I like sports and stuff, I'm a little bit of a heavy gentleman. Mm-hmm. So I was never able to do the flips and the grinds.
Yeah, okay.
So I felt really left out. Like everyone else was like, how are you guys doing that?
Oh, man.
And it's almost, it sounds silly, but it's almost like my, you know, I was saying at school, like mucking around, not to, it's the same thing where, even though it's skateboarding, to do the tricks, you've got to like focus.
And, yeah.
Which I couldn't, like everyone was watching each other on how to do the kick flips and that. And I never did it.
Yeah.
But I felt left out because
shit.
But yeah, but it's still, it's an exciting part of life, you know.
Yeah, like, totally. It's also, I think, valuable to want to do something just for fun and to hang out.
Yeah.
And it's cool instead of like everyone. It, like with comedy, you know, it's like, oh, well, making it a job and I have to work really hard. And I will do that. I will have like my goals that I need to achieve and whatever else. But it's like, it kind of takes away from the fun of it all. You're like, we have to focus. We need to make homework out of this.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Boo, just skate.
Yeah, it's funny you said that because, yeah, especially with skating, it's a very like, it's as a sport, if you call it that, like it tries to separate itself from, they call it mainstream, like your cricket, rugby,
whatever.
So and but then you do find like these are the rules, these are the and the same thing with comedy too. It's like, that's what I found as well, where it's like I thought it was going to be all these like strange weirdos, which there's plenty of them, don't worry.
There are many.
But then it is very like, it's also all these structures you follow as well. Like, like, you start off with your type five and then, you know.
Totally. But you'd expect it to be like this rule-free zone where everyone's just throwing shit at the wall, having fun, being freaks. But there is actually a lot of rigidity to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially the more success that comes with it, you know?
Yeah.
It makes sense, but
It's
a little bit of a buzzkill.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you started skating, did you like have a group of friends that you were like, we are going to go skate together? Or was it kind of you wanted to just go do your own thing?
Yeah, so we would try like the different skate parks.
Yeah, okay.
Me and a couple of friends and... Usually, obviously, we're like 14 and we weren't driving or anything.
Yeah.
So, like, usually hop on, get on the train.
Yep.
Probably little scuzzy kids not paying for tickets and stuff.
Of course not.
No. But, it was like, it was cool. A lot of the parks were like next to train stations and stuff. So we'd go. But that was our first kind of like going to different areas in our own suburb as well.
Yeah, right. You're getting your own independence.
Yeah.
That's
so it was
cool.
Quite like. And then sometimes you'd be in an area like a little bit rough, you know. And I remember this like classic teenage boy thing of like getting a bottle of soft drink. Like, I'd like to say Coke, but it was probably the cheap brand. But but anyway, I remember putting it at our bag or whatever. Like, you know, it was like an undercover area where you put your bags. And then these locals, wherever the place, I can't remember, they'd chuck the bottle at us. And I was very like, you're not welcome around sort of thing, you know? And
That
was my first taste of, like, kind of locals only.
Yeah. How did you handle that?
Yeah, I think we were like, let's get out of here. We're not safe here. But
oh, man.
Yeah. Because I'm a very, I was going to say, try to avoid confrontation.
Yeah,
I'm
okay.
I'm a person who doesn't like confrontation. But, you know, over the years, I probably... been in the odd fight or something here and there, but I don't like confrontation, so I'm just like, let's get out of here.
yeah, fair enough. Did you ever, like, when you weren't at the kind of more locals only or like dodgier areas kind of parks, did you find yourself making friends with the people around? Like, I don't know, I used to go to skate parks a fair bit, but only because, like, I couldn't skate very well at all. I just wanted to, like, flirt.
No, I know what you mean, but I think I was super shy.
Okay.
I think because it's – I don't know if it's – I was going to say, I don't know if this is a gender thing, but like blokes, mm-hmm. you know, boy, especially boys, like how do you, like the icebreaker, you know?
Yeah.
But like, I don't know, you could be, if someone was wearing a band shirt, you're like, oh.
Yeah, exactly. But then
I'm sure, you know how boys are, especially teenage boys, they're like, that's gay, you know?
Oh, totally. Don't you dare compliment
I'm not saying I agree with chucking the word gay around as an insult.
No, it's just,
I'm just saying how boys are, you know? Yeah. It's so weird. Actually, talking about that age, it's funny, like, and a lot of the times when you start acting like that, mm-hmm. but it was never discussed. It was, mm-hmm. I remember going from, like, when we'd go to the movies, mm-hmm. and when you're, like, young boy, like 10, 11, 12, you don't think of all that stuff, and then it comes in.
Yeah.
And okay. I remember we'd just go watch the movies, and then when we turned 13, you start, like, there'd be a gap. One seat gap because no. like, oh, you can't sit next to each other.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's so sad. Yeah. It's so sad because it's like that clearly isn't natural. That has been put on you from yeah. something. Oh,
yeah. And it's so silly because it's yeah. like, yeah.
It takes a long time to unlearn that.
I know. It's just like. Now we're making up for it.
Yeah.
Always sitting close.
No. Yeah, totally. Taking like drugs or getting drunk and like arms around your mate.
Yeah, it's funny because like that's kind of like 13, 14 where you mm-hmm. start having a space
mm-hmm.
and then like maybe 15, 16 is like house parties. Everyone's crammed into a car mm-hmm. or something. So you're back to like being squashed in together.
Yeah. Oh, cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I would think that something like skating helps open those doors of, okay, well, you've got something to talk about. You could compliment someone's moves or whatever.
Yeah.
But if you were really shy, then you're just kind of sticking to your own group the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah, well, there is a quite a funny subculture that comes along with skating yeah. and that. Like, I remember, like I said, because they don't want to be like mainstream. So, like, mm-hmm. if someone... there'd be these events, they called them demos, when like the pros would come.
Okay.
And so if someone did a cool trick, instead of the traditional applause, mm-hmm. people would like tap their skateboard.
Okay, yep.
And those are all the things you learn. Yeah. Like no one says, this is how it's done. Yeah. Someone started doing it and it gets passed on.
Yeah.
And I'm probably sure it's like every skate park around the world has that. Also.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Are you still friends with the people you were friends with as a kid, as a teenager?
You know what? Like, because just naturally in life, how mm-hmm. you move apart. Mm-hmm. So, like, apart from the odd message, keeping not really, but moved apart a bit. Yeah. Which is a bit sad, but.
It happens.
Yeah.
Especially when you are just running around the country. I'm so sorry.
No.
Your hair?
Something grabbed my hair.
Oh, it's fairy lights. But I do have
ridiculous
lights.
Hair, so it's my... No, I was just talking about, like, as we grow older and stuff. It's the same with, like, family Christmases. Like, every year we'd just meet at once a year at the Christmas lunch.
Yeah.
But then people move away.
Yeah.
And it gets smaller and smaller. And
yeah, it really does. It's like I'm so grateful for the technology we have because we are able to have these like occasional messages that say hello.
Yeah.
Because, man, it gets lonelier as you get older, right?
Yeah. And it's interesting you ask about those people from that age because they're the ones who have known you for so long mm-hmm. that sometimes – you relate the most to them.
Yeah, totally.
And then I have one friend who I've known since primary school.
Yeah, okay.
And we always say these strange references, you know, like some name of some person.
Yeah.
And it just puts the memories back.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's that, I think they call it like an in-joke, right, where mm-hmm. it would only mean something to you and that person or that group.
Yeah.
Anyone else... who was looking in, it would just
go
over their head.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I've actually been seeing my, like, oldest friends from primary school. He is probably, like, my only friend from schooling ages. And he moved to Sydney recently. And, like, we still hadn't seen each other that often, but lately we've been seeing each other more. And it's so nice because, like, I'm notoriously late, right? Mm. I try not to be, but I am. And I'll, like, go to hang out with him and I'll be late. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. And he's like, I've known you for 20 years. It's okay. I'm expecting this.
Yeah.
And it's such a nice thing.
Yeah, I know. Oh,
you know me.
Well, even that friend I was telling you about, like, a couple of times, you know, he's had to bail me out of something. Yep. And it's like, oh, it's a shame we always meet like this, you know.
Yeah.
I'm always just getting myself into trouble. And
yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, who do I know who can help me? Yeah, you know? Yeah. But that is, like, quite a lovely thing to, it's like, those are the people who have been there for so long. Like,
it's a beautiful thing. Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's a deep level of comfort to be able to rely on someone in those moments, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's good. Okay, so how do you feel? Like, we already, you know, we're talking about you being on the road and it's hard to kind of touch base with people when you're constantly traveling around. Do you think that it's helpful having comedy and like comedian friends that you just see consistently?
Yeah, like I think having a few people that are your friend from the thing you do, you know, you can bounce off a few ideas. I know, always like talking about messaging people and stuff, it's like you just think of an idea and you, like, want someone to, like, tell about it or something like that. Yeah.
It's good to have.
Yeah. And what's the question again?
It's okay.
No, definitely, like, yeah, like, being on the road, you know, it's quite lonely because, you know, obviously you've got to get to that show or that gig, make sure that's priority.
Yeah.
And then people might want to hang out after and then you've got to move on to the next town. And so
it sounds honestly like quite emotionally exhausting.
Yeah, yeah.
Exhausting in all senses of the word, actually.
Well, that's true because I often say there's different stages of like leading up. People ask me if I get nervous and it's like leading up to the show, you're thinking about it, worried.
Yeah.
And then when the show's on, it's fun. Yeah. You're enjoying it. And then it finishes. It's almost a relief. It's but not in a bad, not like, oh, I got that out of the way. Just like, oh,
of course.
Wasn't as bad as I was worried about. Yeah. Or, but it can be quite draining. And even emotionally, I did a show a few years ago at the Melbourne Comedy Fest that dealt with, it was called Divorce with Children. So it was my, because I have children from a divorce relationship. So in one way it was good to talk about that, to get it out. It's like therapy. But at the same time, every night it was like quite emotional.
Yeah, fuck.
And then it's like, okay, go home, sleep. Let's do this again tomorrow. And you know, with Melbourne Comedy Fest, it's quite long. It's almost like a month. Yeah,
yeah,
so by the end of that, it was just like, you know, it was just like,
God, I bet.
Exhale.
Did you have like a lot of people talking to you afterwards as well about how they relate to the show?
Yeah,
which is like, a lot of energy.
Yeah, and that, you know, I didn't know how to respond.
Yeah.
I didn't want to come across as rude or anything, but they were like, oh man, like that happened to me as well. And what do you say to that? Just like, oh, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, I just did it the hour I prepared on this. If you need anything else, like, I'm tapped.
Yeah.
Shit.
So, yeah, it was quite draining, but also it was like, I'm glad I did it.
Yeah.
But it was draining as well. So, yeah, that's the emotional side of things.
Yeah, then, far out.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I'm doing, we are doing the same venue this year at Melbourne. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
Venue buddies, which I assume is my first festival. I assume that means we'll be best friends afterwards. So it's really exciting.
Sure. If we don't like stress each other out or anything.
But my show is all about disordered, like eating disorders and shit. And it's like heavy stuff.
Pretty intense.
It's intense. And I've obviously been working the material for a while now. And I've had that. It's really nice when I have people come up afterwards and they're like, that's awesome. I got to laugh about something that is sad. Because that's like one of my favorite feelings. And it's so lovely. But I didn't even think about how that could possibly happen night after night.
Yeah.
That's going to be a lot.
Yeah. Well, especially if is a bit of the subject like things you haven't really told many people?
No, I've done therapy. I'm not in therapy anymore. Like, I should be, but I kind of like. But I've, like, done therapy for years. I've spoken. I talk about it a lot. So, I'm quite comfortable talking about it.
Well, see, for my stuff, it was like.
Fresh.
Obviously, my parents knew those close to me, but I hadn't really told anyone. So, it was like a big release.
Yeah.
But also was that, I mean, I won't go into detail, but it's like. I felt like some nasty things had happened to me.
Yeah.
So to get laughter out of that, it was almost like reversing the power dynamic where it was like...
I have chills. That's so nice.
But I know. I was like, it's the kind of thing, like I said, because it's like divorced and so... Divorce, it's like each side is going to say...
Totally.
I was the better person. But trust me, I was the good person. But yeah, it was that like, all right, I've been stuffed around.
Yeah.
Hearing those laughter was that little, like, nothing's going to take away the pain I felt.
Yeah.
But it was a little victory, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Vindicating even. Yeah. That's awesome.
Before talking about sort of being a class clown that annoyed everyone and then years later to flip it into people like this. So it's like, cool, you know? Like,
it's actually really healing.
I can use this. Yeah. Like, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. Mm. Far out. Yeah. How old are your kids?
13 and 15.
Holy shit.
Yeah, yeah. I had them. I was quite young.
Oh, I don't know who that is. Sorry.
Early. That's all right. Do you need to get it? Or?
It's probably the neighbors. Probably. Excuse me one moment. Sorry to interrupt.
No.
Your kids are teenagers.
Yeah, so early 20s when I had the kids.
Oh, man.
Yeah, well, that's kind of. Dictated a lot of stuff, you know.
Yeah, like that, I bet.
That was kind of changed a lot. We've
changed everything.
Yeah, so, yeah, and they're in the teenage years now, which is pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So, using my own experience of being a bit of a dickhead, I can't be too harsh on them. Yeah.
Man, that would have obviously changed everything. How did your friendships change when you had kids? Because I can't imagine many other people would have been in the same place, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, that was a big change because I didn't know anyone else
having
kids that age. So I kind of distanced myself.
Shit.
And that kind of distanced me from people.
Yeah.
But it was like, all right, I got these kids to look after, you know?
Yeah, it's just
really sort of... made me become what I'm trying to think of the right word.
it's like a new priority. Kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, like responsibility, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, of course.
Like I said about years of sort of drinking and stuff, I had to stop that. Mm-hmm, and which is for the best, I think.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
because you don't want kids seeing you drunk. And yeah,
that's good, but it sucks that. It's still, like, it would be isolating. Yeah. I think it's isolating for most people when they have kids.
And I think, just tying it back to the comedy too, I think, you know, with scenes, how you've got kind of, obviously there's gigs are on and some people, like, there's a lot of, like, socializing.
Mm-hmm.
But because I had the kids at home, I would kind of just go do the gig, do my spot,
go home.
So I did feel like I was missing out on that socializing side.
That sucks.
And then you wonder, like, how you're seen by other people too.
Yeah,
like, oh, why is he just doing his bit and taking off?
Which I think is more common now. Like, talking to some, you know, older acts or even listening to older... I heard Will Anderson talk about it recently on his podcast. He's like, no one wants to hang out and watch the show anymore. And he's like, maybe it's because you've got, like, Netflix and everything at home and we just had less going on. And I'm like, it also is just like... The world's more expensive. People value their time and have other shit to do and whatever. But I know that not that long ago, though, it was more frowned upon to leave, which sucks.
Yeah.
It feels very unfair.
Watch the other acts.
Yeah. But you got kids at home. That's like, obviously, you got to go back to the kids.
Yeah. Well, it's funny too, because traditionally in entertainment, obviously, it's like last act, headline or whatever. Maybe not so much at open mics, but that's because people were gradually going home.
Yeah.
Often the last act's like playing to no one.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
Not only did you hang around for the whole show, no one's there to watch you.
Yeah, fucking hell. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that is rough.
But, yeah, no, like, I, and you find, you know, you find a few people who you can sort of, oh, that person's like-minded, similar thinking to me, so like that. So instead of like a big network of people, I just had a few that I trusted. Yeah,
yeah. Well, I mean, you're adored, right? Like, I don't know.
Oh,
I,
thank you. But
people love you. It's awesome.
Well, it, you know, like I'd been at it for a long time before I started putting things online. And that.
Yeah.
And then it was crazy where like then when it started doing well, there's these, like I said, with the age thing, like that freaked me out. I didn't expect like teenagers to be in it.
Yeah.
But all these people would be like, man, everyone at my school's quoting you. And like,
it's so weird.
And it's that thing, like, yeah, it was weird, but it was cool because it was like, that's, it's that thing of like, that's what I would have done with comedians. Yeah. Like, but it was like when Carl Barron was on the Footy Show or whatever.
Yeah.
And we'd come to school the next day and we'd all be quoting the joke. So it's like, now I'm a meme or whatever.
Yeah. Wow.
And then other comedians too. Another crazy thing was like when their friends found out they did comedy and then they'd be like, oh, do you know
Godfrey? Yeah, that's like, so good.
I remember people telling me about that, like, oh man. And then they're just like, I'm just me, you know, like, if he, they're like, what's he like? He's like, he's pretty boring.
yeah, it's, people have a weird expectation of comedians to be their full persona at all times.
Yeah, like, well, people like see just see the surface and then they want it to be, you know, I had all these dudes like, you know, they see like mullet, high viz. I get these messages in my inbox or like, you know, dude, you want to come and party, like do some lines, got strippers, whatever. I'm like, man, you don't, like, I didn't say this in my mind. I'm like, man, I just make lists of like best movie of 1996 or, you know, I'm like very boring. Like,
Yeah. You don't know how I'm spending my free time.
Yeah. Well, because I changed that lifestyle with the girls coming along. So. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So both your kids are girls?
Yeah.
Teenage girls.
Two girls.
Oh,
yeah,
my gosh. Yeah. How have you, I mean, obviously you've seen them grow up. How are they navigating life and the world around them?
Oh, yeah, it's tough. Yeah. Like, especially, you know, this generation with, try not to sound like a real old fashion, but all the gadgets now.
I know, it's
but
crazy.
Like, yeah, it's like they've grown up with, it's almost like they're guinea pigs because this generation's grown up with the social media that the previous generation didn't have.
Yeah, exactly. I feel so lucky to have grown up at a point where we got to experience, you know, just being outside, entertaining ourselves, but also like young enough that we can learn how to work all of the machines. But it's fucking weird time to be a kid.
A few years ago, like, I had some bad mental health and a lot of it came from the social media stuff, like worrying about likes and views.
Yeah.
And
it's awful.
Like, thankfully, I'm pretty much through it now. It's always a battle, but I'm mostly through the bad side. But my oldest daughter, it hit her pretty hard.
Oh.
Like, yeah, and that's why it's like, I can sympathize because it's, and it's the way we are as people. Because some people, it just bounces off them. Like,
yeah.
Like, But I wish I was like that.
Me too. It's really hard. I was actually talking about that with Steph Broadbridge on her episode, talking about the whole fucking ordeal she had with...
Yeah, that was a nightmare.
A terrible nightmare. It sucks. And I saw a comment on the YouTube that was like, wow, this has actually made me think about how I behave online.
Yeah.
And I never really realized that it affects people. Mm. And I'm like grateful that they've said that, that they've thought that. But also I'm like, how did you not realize? Mm. That's crazy. Of course it affects us all. Like it's so easy to say, oh, just don't read it. Just don't look at it. It's like,
yeah,
but they're talking about me. It's on my stuff. Yeah. Of course you're going to look.
Yeah, it's so like, you know, I'm thinking... Back in the day, you would have just did your thing and then if your fans found it, then good. And now it's like because it pops up on everyone's thing. Everyone's got something to say.
Well, that's it. I mean, back in the day, you're getting a fucking DVD. Mm. You're seeing something live. You're watching a video, whatever. You can't write anything on it.
Yeah.
And even if you do, it's going to sit in your living room.
Yeah.
The person who made the thing isn't going to see it.
Yeah. And those trolls, like, unfortunately... It's easy to say, don't worry about it, but it does affect some of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how it can't, honestly.
I've been all right with troll, but then I get these ones because I like comment on sports stuff.
Yep.
And they're the most intense because it's like if you say something about their sports team, I've got this group of these guys who just like, I can't remember what I said. It doesn't really matter, probably.
Yeah.
It's just like a joke about their team.
Of course.
But now they pop up on everything and like, not funny.
Fuck off.
It's like, dude, go get a life. You know?
Yeah, it's so weird. Everyone's just a raw nerve feeling attacked, so they want to fucking lash out at everyone else. Ugh.
I'm sure it's like, dude, your sports team doesn't even care about you that much.
Exactly.
You're like protecting them to the death.
It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't care. Also, I don't know. I'm not a sports person, so I don't know anything.
That's
but
for the best.
Totally.
I've wasted so much of my life on sports.
Don't they change the fucking players all the time and stuff? It's like, what are you even, what are you aligned to here?
Yeah, yeah.
The shirts?
Yeah. Oh, it's intense. It's like, that's the thing. I follow sports and stuff, but then even I question it. Like,
yeah. You know? It does seem fun. It is like, and don't get me wrong, I like to go and watch, like I like UFC a lot. I like football, like soccer, football. Mm. But even just going to any State of Origin, I'm always going to want to go, you know, it's a fun vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
But people really tie their entire personality into it and it's.
No, no, I get it. Like it's just wanting to belong, isn't it?
That's
like,
it.
And even.
It's the same shit.
Even like. That thing of, people clinging to a team or whatever. You could find similarities in, like, arts where it's, like...
Absolutely.
Metalheads or,
oh my God.
Or rap people 100%. Or whatever.
Like, comedy.
Like, yeah, everyone's just... Cult. Everyone wants to find a thing where it's, like...
Yep, you've got churches.
Yeah.
You got, like, every... That's what everything comes down to. Totally. We all want to belong. We all want a place. Which is nice. We're all the same.
Because, yeah, it's even... It's weird because it's like, even though I do comedy, I'll be like, how come that person, this isn't a particular person.
Yeah.
How can you put your whole identity as comedy? But it's But there's some people like really into things.
Yeah,
so it's
I see that a lot.
Who am I to say you can't do that, you know?
Yeah. You see that a lot when people are earlier on in, though.
Like, yeah, then like, the profile pic with the mic.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it is a thrill. It's like, I'm doing this.
Yeah, so. It is everything. You put your everything into it. But I think you want to hope you realize this earlier. But the sooner you realize that, the sooner you realize like, oh, if I'm not doing anything but this, if I'm not talking to anyone but comedians, only about comedy, it's like, you've got nothing to say then.
Yeah, yeah.
No one cares. You're going to go on stage and be like, I was at another gig and I was talking to a comedian. It's like, no, live.
You can't, you become in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. In that world.
Yeah. Like. And then you're Dave Chappelle and you're out of touch.
Yeah. Well, people will say to me, like, you've seen this. You're, like, talking about specials and like that. And really, like, I don't hate comedy, but I just don't seek it out.
Yeah.
I'm like, maybe I'm a bit burnt out.
Like, yeah, okay, okay. Were you, but were you one of those people who was like a comedy nerd before you did it?
I don't think so. Because, because like, and this is a symptom of the age you grew up in. But because I'm a 90s kid, so that kind of predates the like now, right, everyone watches special, like full hours, right?
On
Netflix or YouTube. Mm-hmm. Or, but for me and 90s people, it was, there was like a 3 or 4 minute spot on telly.
Yep.
So that's how you consume comedy.
Yeah.
Which is actually, it's actually a really false, and that would make you think the comedian's like perfect because it's like 4 minutes. You can't, you're going to do your hits, right? But yeah, that, you know, like a lot of those dudes, the older crowd who are like big now, they got in the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, like you're sort of like Dave Hughes, Mick Malloy. That's how we consumed it, in little 3 or 4 minute bits. So I don't know why, like, because I consumed it like that, I don't really seek out specials or full concerts.
Yeah,
or
anything. And it's harder to obsess over.
Yeah,
if it's just little bits and it's on the TV when it's on.
Sometimes I feel like I should check out more, just because it's like I'm doing comedy and then even the various levels, right? Because you've got your intimate club. And then it's like, every now and then I should go to one of these, like, the ones at the theatre, the arena.
Yeah.
The biggest, do you know QPAC in Brisbane?
Yeah.
That's the biggest theatre it was that I've seen comedy.
Yeah, so
that's not like the, like, stadium comedy, you know.
Yeah.
Aziz Ansari was, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And I also saw Stephen Wright there, but, so I think it's like maybe 3 or 4,000, something like
Damn.
That.
Damn.
But not, yeah, I've never been to one of those, like, entertainment center or like
me neither. I mean, that's
seems crazy to me.
It's crazy. That's
I mean, not many people could, like, it's like Seinfeld and Louis C.K.
But I don't even want to spend money to go see like music at that sort of a thing. Like, I like it small, you know. It's intimate, it's nice. I don't know.
No, I'm with you.
I was talking to Jacob about you coming on, and he mentioned that you're into punk music a fair bit.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a punker from way back.
Yeah, which is a whole scene in itself.
I got to qualify. Like, when I say punk, it's like pop, sugary pop.
Okay.
Punk.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like fresh.
Okay. Still.
But I got got real into bands at a young age, like sort of 13. I started going to gigs and stuff. And
oh, what a time.
Yeah. And actually, on touching on the friendship thing, quite a lot of gigs I did go with some mates. But then, because I had some weird taste in music, so I'd sometimes go to a gig myself.
Yeah, like, well, that's what I was going to ask.
A little bit lonely sometimes.
Yeah, okay. Did you make friends when you were out by yourself?
No, that's what, you know, what I was talking about earlier. It was really, really hard to.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to. Yeah.
You're shy.
Yeah, I didn't know how to do the... Almost needed a class on how to... I was going to say, what are those gross, like, pick-up artists?
Oh, but for friends. That's what this podcast is.
Yeah. sorry for saying it's gross.
No, you're right. It's gross.
No. But friendship is a nice thing. I'm just saying.
Pick-up artists for just... But just for friends. Yeah, that's a great idea. You're right. Like, it's a really common thing. Just people don't love to talk about it. I struggled to make friends or like keep friends or whatever it is. And that's why I'm doing this whole podcast. Because it's like, we kind of would love a manual, something to teach, especially when you're a kid. It's like, how the hell do you talk to someone? It's weird.
Yeah, it is. And then the older you grow, because like, I remember... I don't know, trying to think back to primary school. Do you ever think back that far?
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a blur.
How did you make friends? It's almost like it just happened.
They're
like
just
you
there.
Didn't go like, do you want to play with me? Or, you know, like,
I definitely.
I think like the parents would organize it to a lot of the
when you're
time
really
too,
little, totally.
You. Yeah.
Totally.
And then it's like, start going on, like, I got to organize this stuff myself. Mm-hmm. Like,
and then the pressure's on. Mm. It's like, I don't know. I was weird. Because I think it is just naturally it's who's around you, who's sitting next to you at their desk, you know, and that's yeah. cool. But then you start to show who you are and then people find their little groups or whatever. And I definitely, like, struggled. It was weird. I, you know, was friends with the weird people and yeah, then yeah. I wanted to be friends with the popular people, but why? And it was all just, yeah. it's all a bit weird.
Well, like, yeah, that's that comes back to what we were talking about before with the those that age of
yeah.
wanting to fit in.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. yeah, totally. When in hindsight, a lot of the weirdos were actually the coolest people.
Yeah,
it's totally. Crazy.
yeah.
Oh, it's silly. I liked going to gigs though. I found that like I went to a lot of metal stuff and not so much like pop punk, but like, yeah, metal, emo, borderline, screamo sort of stuff when I was a teenager. Yeah. And I didn't necessarily make friends at those sorts of things, but I found that it was a very friendly vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
People were just generally nice. Did you find that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I did. Yeah, I did. There was a few times I tried to meet up with some people outside of, like, you'd just see them at the gig, but it'd just be like a, do a little nod. Again, I don't know if it's a blokey thing, but
oh, totally it is.
Yeah, little nods and we should talk, you know, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Little nod has to suffice.
Yeah. And like, I don't, like, I guess, yeah, talking about technology and stuff too, is like, I feel like, because that kind of predated, you know, like now they might have like a Facebook group mm-hmm. and where you could meet like-minded people and stuff and
yeah, it's easier.
I always thought it was that classic thing is like, I don't know if anyone else ever thought this, like, I wonder how I would have gone in the 60s. Like, how you would have, do you ever think that? Like, how you would have gone in another era? Like,
yeah, totally. You know,
it's like those rockabilly guys who want to be from the 50s.
Yeah, or, yeah.
Or just like, this era doesn't suit me. Or, like, you know, like.
Oh, absolutely.
Things are moving too fast, you know? 21st century.
I've always wanted to go into the future more, honestly. I thought that was, I watched too much Futurama as a kid. I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought that would be the way to go. But yeah, it's like the 70s beachy kind of vibes. You're like, wow, maybe things would have been completely different.
Yeah. Well, I think, is it kind of like a blaming your surroundings too, where it's like,
totally.
Like this, I was big like, this place doesn't get me.
Yeah, okay.
Which is like, as I've grown older, I've distanced myself away from that.
Yeah.
But I was very, like, growing up in Brisbane, I was very like, got to get down to Melbourne. Like,
yeah, you know, it's like that
they
in
get
Brisbane.
Arts, they get everything. I'm like, Brizzy, people just want to, like, I think there's certain elements of that, but I think you can make, in your mind, you can make it a bit cartoony. And
yeah.
And places change too. Like, Brisbane's changing heaps.
But, oh, of course. Brisbane's
like,
doing great.
That was probably, I guess, when I first started comedy. And then, you know, I'd be like, you know, they, down in Melbourne, they want to, they want to, like, they want arts. And up here, because it was that, obviously, it's like you, whatever thing you're experiencing would be magnified. Like, you're going to think that's what the whole, so because I'm like, had friends who are doing these, like, sort of going to the pub Sunday sessions.
Mm-hmm.
So that, in my mind, that's like, that was a very Brizzy thing to just drink beers on a Sunday and, like, you know. So in hindsight, it was, like, pretty cringy, but at the time I'm like, there's got to be more to life.
Oh, totally, totally. So, I'm still living through that. I get it. Yeah, yeah. But you move to the place and you're like,
no, it's everyone, like, people are people.
Everyone wants to go to the pub on Sunday.
That's it. You think grass is greener somewhere and then it's just like, people are people, right?
Yeah. Completely. And you're stuck with yourself. You're like, oh, I'm still me too.
Yeah,
I thought I'd be a whole new me in Melbourne. No, I've lived in Melbourne and Sydney and, like, grew up in Brisbane. And I love living in other cities, but I'm still just like, well, next city is going to be LA, you know, or New York. Like, we've got to keep going. There's always going to be something bigger and better.
And then you find too, it's not like there's right versus wrong. There's just like, that lifestyle's all right and that lifestyle's all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Or it's like, Melbourne probably wouldn't be so arty if it wasn't so dreary that you could go outside.
Oh my God, so true.
I don't want to become a talking about weather guy. Like,
no, but it's true. I swear, I was so sad. Actually, no, I do keep making this parallel. Like when I lived in Melbourne, I was so sad. And I'm like, I think it was the weather. But yeah. Also when I look back on it, I'm like, I actually had a lot of shit happen when I was there that made me
sad. No, that's right. Your own experience has been shaped.
But I'm blaming the cold.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Everyone in Brizzy was going like, oh, how good, you know, how good's the weather? How good is it?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't care about the weather. I want music. I want comedy. I want arts, you know?
Yeah.
And then you learn there's a place for both.
Like, yeah. And it's Sydney.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, yeah, it's nice to like, not have to take an umbrella everywhere.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's like that. I think we've got to get into... Oh, we do. We have some sleepover games to play. Awesome. Would you like to play them?
Sure.
Hell yes. Okay. And we're going to start with Would You Rather. A classic.
Yes.
Tell me, would you rather people exclusively call you Aaron, not Goxie, or... Never, you have to chop off your mullet and never be allowed to grow one back.
This is a weird one because it's like, I try not to ever think about it, but every now and then it comes up where it's like, and I start doing like, there's more to me than just a hairstyle.
Yeah.
oh, God. Would I? Well, I like being called Aaron, so I'll go with that.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's hard to explain. It's like when everyone uses one,
yeah. And then
it's like you go back to the other one. Yeah. I was like, yeah, but
it's weird. But like, yeah.
The hair thing, yeah, definitely freaks me out. I'll tell you, because I, you know, do it as most of us do some ads sometimes. Mm-hmm, you know, it's not great.
But, oh yeah, I see you up
pays
there.
Pays the bills. But anyway, I auditioned for this one. I won't say the company, but it was going to be for the Bathurst car race.
Okay.
And they were like, can you shave a Holden logo into your head?
Oh, my God.
And that's what... Because I normally... normally, it's just like, my hair is my hair. I don't think about it. And that's when I had to start thinking, if I did that, would it, like, wreck it? And then I'm like, how much of, like, this is my persona?
Yeah,
I start overthinking it, you know?
No, but it's fair. It's like, yeah, of course you're more than your mullet.
Yeah. But I remember my daughter saying something real lovely where she's just like, you know, you're more than that.
Oh, that's really. Or maybe it was
the
opposite. Cute.
Maybe she said you're nothing without
your... Oh, my God, no.
I can't remember one of those. But it is, those things you... When they're just... Because I just... did it years ago, the hairstyle, and I've just kept it. And then I try not to think of it, overthink it, but it is. So to answer your question, what was the choice? I think I'll go with the name one.
Yeah.
Because what was the other option? To chop it?
Basically, no more mullet. No more mullet.
I like it.
Or no more Goxie.
Yeah.
I think that's a good choice.
Yeah.
Like you said, it is.
I don't feel like the name... is much. Or if I come out and start calling myself Aaron, will people be like, I'm done with him. I only liked him because he was...
No, everyone, Australians are Australians. They'll just start calling you Azza, you know?
Yeah, I was Azza when I was younger. Oh, yeah.
That makes sense. I knew a few Azzas. Okay. We've got a fuck, marry, kill. This is, I think, a good one.
It's a bit violent. Nah.
I know. I usually... Oh, no, you're stuck. You're stuck in the fort. Oh, my God. Are you... It's not...
No, this happens a lot. Speaking of hairstyles. It's all right.
Okay.
All right, I'm out of it now. All right.
F, marry, kill. Keep it PG. I know. It's a lot. I need to change the names.
If the bloody government will let me marry...
Well, we'll see about this one. F, marry, kill, Maxi Bonds, Golden Gay Times, and Paddle Pops.
God.
I know it's hard.
But I like to eat them. I don't like to fuck them.
Well, this is conceptual.
Fuck, marry, kill. So, you know what? Speaking of ads, I did this thing where I went to the Maxi Bond factory.
Uh-huh.
And I had to have like 7 that day.
What the fuck?
And so that's kind of like...
That's too many maxi bars.
Well, yeah, for a long time I would not have another one because it was just like too sweet that day.
Yeah.
But I guess... I really like gay time, so okay. Marry gay time.
Marry the gay time.
What was the third one?
Paddle pop.
Oh, kill paddle pop. So wow. I guess I got a fucking maxi bar.
That's good.
It's probably the shape. Oh, no, that's great. I don't think the fuck part you're supposed to overthink it.
No, like, you're not. You're definitely not. It's conceptual. Like,
it's got that nice cookie shape.
Yeah, yeah. Maxibon's good. I think Maxibon's good for a fuck because they're like, it's two different things, you know? It's like a bit of variety.
Oh, God.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Glad this is a, what do you call it? Like an audio thing and not a cartoon.
I'm glad it's not a cartoon either. That would be way more work for me. All right. One more F, marry, kill. Bowls clubs, Christmas dinners, or perfectly impersonating the kid from Around the Twist.
Oh, wow. They're all quite different, aren't they?
Bowls. They are very different.
I think... I think I'll marry the... Well, let's start with kill. What's the worst one? Probably Christmas dinner.
Really?
Well, you know, like Bowls Club, you can hang out and play. Oh,
they're
play.
Good. They're a good place. Yeah,
and then Christmas dinner... Christmas feels like an obligation where it's like you're there because you got to... I don't hate it. It's only because I've been given these options. But yeah, I'm going to go kill the Christmas dinner.
Okay.
So now what's it? Marry the Bowls Club.
Great choice.
What was the last one?
You're going to fuck perfectly impersonating the kid from Around the Twist.
Oh, so this is making me seem like a pedophile now.
No. You are fucking the concept.
Oh.
Of perfectly impersonating the kid.
All right.
Which you did.
Yeah.
And nailed it.
And look, I said I like comedy and arts, so I've got to appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a good answer. Yeah.
I love acting and stuff, so you know.
You're really good. It's awesome. Oh, all right. One more game. And it's the last easy peasy game. It's truth or dare. The ball's in your court. What do you want to do?
Yeah, truth.
Truth. Okay. What's a fact about you that you think would surprise your fans?
I've probably talked about this, so I might not surprise, but I'm a big geography nerd. I love
really?
Like, I love like maps. And
that's awesome.
But you know what's sad about that?
What?
Because I grew up, I was obsessed with like the Atlas, like looking at things.
Yeah.
But I've never been out of Australia.
Oh, my God.
So, I'm hoping to go one day. So, that's, like, quite sad. It's, like, I love the world and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. But I've never been, so it's, like...
Oh, that's okay. But, you can fix that.
But I feel... Like, I don't know. I've talked about that, so I'll try... What's a... Something.
I mean, that's a good answer.
Yeah. Because it's, like, I'm trying not to be too intense.
Okay.
It could be something that's, like, really intense, but... trying to keep it fun.
Okay. If you want, I get intense sometimes, you know.
Well, I guess maybe because I'm always talking about junk food and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite food is laksa, you know, the Asian.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So okay. I think that that's is surprising. Pretty good. That's good.
Because people will just think like pies.
Yeah.
Pizza, which I do like. But
Who doesn't? You'd be crazy.
Love my Asian. And I actually grew up... Do you know Sunnybank in Brisbane?
Yeah.
So I grew up there. It's an Asian suburb.
Oh, I lived there for a bit.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is growing up, we just had the classic Aussie-type Chinese. Special fried rice.
Yep.
And then, obviously, when you become an adult, you're free to choose... Most people, free to shop wherever you want. And that was when... It wasn't until I was an adult I started going to the more, like...
Yeah, exploring Asian a little things. Bit more. Oh, that's great. That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Now I want answer. So
you got to double up there, the geography. And
You're a man but of many layers.
Both are things that, like, you know, I don't really present myself as.
Yeah.
But, Yeah, I'm happy to say I'm a geography nerd and love my Asian food. But
hell yes, beautiful.
But it is funny though too that it's not like an Aussie bogan being like, I'm in touch with my Asian side. That's not like that big of a revelation, you know? I'm sure like, you know, like Thailand and Bali and stuff.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I haven't been to either. So like,
yeah.
So that's probably got to be my, I'm hoping to. And that probably comes from having the kids young.
Yeah, a little of bit course. Too, of so. Course. Totally.
But yeah, hoping to
get you overseas.
Yeah, let's do
Fuck
it.
Fuck yes. Yeah. Good. Oh, that's great. Well, that's the end of the podcast. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
You want to tell the listeners and the viewers where to find you, what you're doing?
Yeah, well, like we talked about earlier, love to hit the road. Mm-hmm. So, book me in if you got a venue or a town or whatever. But mostly on like Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, that sort of thing.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I'll put all the links in the show notes. They can find you.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Oh, and your Melbourne show. Tell them about that.
Yeah, same. We're venue buddies at the Catfish. So my show, it's, I was going to say parody, ripoff, whatever, of the classic TV late night show, you know, awesome. Like Letterman, Leno, mm-hmm. O'Brien. That's why I'm going to be at the desk.
Cool.
You'll have to come on as a guest.
Oh my God, I'd love to.
At least you'll know where the venue is.
I'll be there anyway. Yeah. That sounds so fun.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, that's awesome.
But when I say ripoff, it's going to be everything they do on those shows. So like come out, do the stand-up monologue.
Fuck yes.
Go to the desk for your guests. There'll be skits.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to
That's going to be awesome. Go check that out in Melbourne. I'll put all of the links up everywhere so you guys can find it. Also come and see me if you want to. Thank you guys for listening. I love you so much.
Thanks for having me.
When we're winning, we'll be singing. I get knocked down. He drinks a lager drink, he drinks a cider drink. He sings the songs that remind him of the good time. He sings the songs that remind him of the better time.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.